Dear friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, Merry Christmas, and know that God is love. That's what we focus on today. This Christmas day is the day when we can say love came down on our level. God is with us. God is for us, and God is inside of us with love. Now, to help us understand this is actually a quite difficult concept for a lot of us. Love, isn't it? We hear about so many silly love songs on the radio. People are still wondering, what's love? What's love got to do with it? What is love? Who loves me? You can hear them on the radio all you want, but we still don't really quite have it, do we? So we're going to talk about love today, just as we heard in our scripture lessons, just as we sang. But first, we have to kind of get back up to speed. Prior to today, we celebrated the church season of Advent, in which we looked forward to this day of the coming of our Lord. Advent prepares us, and we were trying to prepare each other to get into the Christmas spirit once more. And we get into the Christmas spirit by actually getting into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you once more this passage from a letter of St. Paul. Galatians chapter 5 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." The past few weeks, services, we took a time to explain exactly what each of those themes mean. The first week in Advent, we looked to hope and we looked to patience, how we patiently are still working while we wait for our Lord. Second week of Advent, we looked at peace and how in order for us to have true peace, we have to first understand true love. Third week of Advent, we looked at joy. We took a moment to pause our lives, light a pretty little pink candle, and know that despite the circumstances of this world and our lives, we have a reason to be joyful. We're going to sing joy to the world in a little bit, and believe it, we who have it. This fourth week prior to Christmas, we celebrated love as we grown closer to this day. But let's do a little quick recap. Love actually is quite important because it explains all of the other fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about. You see, love encompasses it, all of these things. It encapsulates it, combines it, and envelopes all the fruit of the Spirit. And even so, its joy is actually love's strength. In order for us to have joy, we first must have love. Peace happens to be love's security. Patience is love's restraint. Gentleness is love's humility. Goodness is love's generosity. Faith is love's confidence. Kindness is love's conduct and behavior. And for next week, right before we get to New Year's, we're going to talk about self-control. But self-control is love's victory. And love seeks the highest good of others. It's not based on feelings or emotions. It's actually a decision. It's a daily decision to be committed to the well-being of another without any circumstances. Love. Why is it so hard for us to define then? Well, I think partially because we misunderstand what type of love we're talking about. You see, we just said in Scripture that God is love. I like to call that our first love, our true love. He's the one that first showed us love before we were even born, before he even got to see you walk and talk as a baby on your own. God first gave you love. We misunderstand love is because we talk about the love that we have as other people, maybe as parents, as brothers, sisters, friends, fellow pew mate sitting in a church. That's what we call the second love. The problem in our lives is that we mistake the first love for the second love. We try to demand from another person, another faulty, sinful human being, we try to demand the love that from them that only God can give. You see how much problems that might cause for us? Maybe it's a crush or a boyfriend or a girlfriend that we can't stop thinking about, and we want them to be perfect, and we think they are, but then all of a sudden they're not, and we're let down. Or maybe it happens when we're deep into marriage already. Maybe we're 10 years into marriage, and we start to realize all the weird things and the things that get annoying, and then we just start to look at the other person with just spite. And we don't really like them anymore because they don't give us the love that we want. We're looking for that first love still. Christmas reminds us today that you have that first love. You don't have to go looking anywhere else. You don't have to find it in somebody else. You don't have to go looking for it, unwrapping a present. You already have it. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus, the Spirit of our living God that we celebrate on Easter is beating within your own heart right here, right now, today. And because you have that first love, you can now give it to those other people that might need it a little extra. But it's not easy, right? Our English language is hard to understand. So I want to actually explain something that might help a little bit. Next, I'll show you here, there's actually quite a few number of ways of talking about love. You can see on the screen behind me, the New Testament language of Greek, the Greek language actually expresses love in several different ways instead of our just one word in English. Love, first, can be about passion, eros, you might call it. Named after that cute, chubby little Cupid thing, that false Greek god Cupid. In Greek language, he's called Eros. And it's about passionate love. Silly, reckless love, maybe even. Blind love. We maybe have that when we're in our younger days. Just willing to do the crazy, following after each other like a deer in rut. That's Eros. That's not the love we're talking about at Christmas. Or maybe it's ludus. This word ludus reminds us of the place where gladiators would play. It's an arena. It's playful love. This is the kind of love that maybe newlyweds or like boyfriends and girlfriends, we like to maybe play around and joke and have fun. It's playful love. But it goes away when we're bored, right? That's not the love we're talking about on Christmas either. Mania. How about you? Are love maniacs out there? This is the type of love that we're just obsessive. We write diary notes about the love we have. We go out of our way. We might become stalkers. Who knows? We are definitely not talking about that kind of love on Christmas, folks. But the Greek language has an aspect about it. How about philia? Philia. You guys know that word, right? Philia. Maybe you like a football team from a town called Philadelphia. That's the city of brotherly love. It's a love about friendship. You're my brother. You're my sister. That's friendship. Brotherly love. We're getting a little closer to love in which we should know about, right? This is the same brotherly love that Jesus had with perhaps his friend, the disciple John. This is the same love that maybe, yes, Maya, you might have for your brother, even though you might get on each other's nerves. This is the love that we have starting to understand in our families. But it's still not the love we're talking about at Christmas. How about philousia? What's that one? That's one hard, hard even to say. It's about the love for yourself. Now, that's not just bad in itself. Scripture tells us to love your neighbor. How's it go? as yourself. Get this. In order for us to love somebody else, you have to love yourself. You're beautiful. You're handsome. You are just how God intended to be. God made you, and God doesn't make junk. You are the perfect gift for God because he made you. You are his so much that he was willing to die for you. And that's why we can love who we are, despite our curves and shapes and weird personalities and bad corny jokes. We love each other. We love ourselves. That's not still the love of Christmas, now is it? How about the next one? We pronounce that one storge. Storge, it's kind of a fun word. It's a love for family. We're getting a little closer. That's the love we like to do and enjoy at home on Christmas Day. The love of opening presents and spending time together. Maybe even talking on the phone if we can't meet in person. That's the love that a mother has for a child when maybe nobody else wants to give that love. That's the love that makes a dad want to take off the training wheels and follow behind their kid to teach them how to ride a bike. It's a love for family. It's a love that only families know and enjoy. Still not the love of Christmas. How about pragma? You might hear this word pragmatic. It's kind of an intellectual thing. It goes a long way. It's a long-standing love. This is a love that maybe I've seen in nursing homes. People that have literally lost their mind. People that are suffering from Alzheimer's, dementia, can still recite the Lord's Prayer. They can still play a piano to a Christmas hymn. It's a love that I just saw on the news of two elderly man and woman that were holding hands and died together. That's love. But it's still not quite the perfect love of Christmas. How about this last one? Agape. How about we say it together? Agape. You just said a Greek word. You're learning languages. That's an unconditional love. It's a love that is willing to give up yourself, give up your presence, give up your life. That's the love that God has for you because it encompasses all loves. It is the perfect love. Because it is a love that's willing to sacrifice. Put everything on the line, even if you're not getting anything back. That's a love that we only can understand when we look to Jesus at his cross and we look to Jesus in the manger. A love worth being born in an animal stall. A love being worth born to a family that didn't have a dime. A love worth going to the cross out of love. This Christmas, you have maybe all of these, but most of all, you have the greatest love of Jesus. That's the love that I encourage you to maybe try to show and share to maybe one another because you already got it. Now, let that soak in for a moment. Know that love today. But also take the moment, the next few minutes, to recount how that love is shown maybe in your own family, as we see of a young mother in our next video. This is a strange miracle.
It's from my husband, and I know what it is. I know because he told me right after we were married that he told me what he was going to get me on this Christmas. I guess I just never thought this Christmas would actually get here, so. See, I always knew that I was meant to be a mother, and my husband was meant to be a dad. I just knew it, I was sure of it, till I wasn't. It happened slowly at first. I didn't notice it, but after a while, the cute little jokes that our friends made, they stopped being funny, and, well, the constant pep talks from our family reminding us that it just takes time, well, it started to become more defeating than encouraging. It's actually a little frightening to think how many dark places my mind went to during those years. I mean, I thought, had I done something wrong? Was I being punished? I even convinced myself that somehow, some way, God had abandoned us in our pursuit of our dream of being parents. I thought, maybe if I prayed more or trusted more, believed more, then maybe, but after years of praying and trusting and believing, I had nothing to show for it. Nothing but a broken heart and a bunch of empty tissue boxes. Well, we eventually just learned to live with our broken hearts. I mean, it was just the way it was going to be, till it wasn't. It was December 21st. I remember because I opened my advent calendar and there was an extra piece of chocolate in there. I love that. I love it when that happens, but that was not the best part. The best part was the scripture message that came with the chocolate. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has chosen me. He has commissioned me to encourage the poor, to help the brokenhearted. Oh. See, in this prophecy about the coming Messiah, God reassured me that not only had he not forgotten about us, but that he wanted to help us. Well, that little seed of hope found its way into my heart. And yes, God does have a strange way of doling out kids, but we soon realized that we didn't have to necessarily experience the miracle of childbirth to experience the miracle of having a child. So, while my friends were off to Lamaze classes, we met with lawyers and social workers and notaries, and it took us a lot longer than 9 months to become parents, but that little miracle, she was worth the wait. In my wildest dreams, I could never have imagined how God would orchestrate this for us, but he did it. He did it. You know, just the other day, God reminded me that he provided baby Jesus in a very strange way on that very first Christmas. He didn't come like everyone thought he was going to show up. He also reminded me that because of Jesus, I am his adopted child. And if he loves me as much as I love that little girl, well, I don't have to ever question his love for me again.
So at this Christmas, with the love of God, may the peace of our Lord fill you with that same love, and may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.